Okay, welcome everyone to the live chat we have following the president's speech that he just finished at Capitol Hill. Thanks for joining us. We've learned this from past experiences. If things stall up, just refresh your browser, and you can, of course, participate in the Facebook chat that you can find at whitehouse.gov if you're watching this on another site. So I want to thank Anita Dunn, the White House Communications Director, for joining us tonight. And we're going to try to take a couple questions and respond to some reactions that we're seeing on Twitter, on Facebook. We've got a couple ready to go, and then I'll try to keep track with you guys as you sort of speed up here. So let's just dive right into it.
Okay, Macon.
Okay, so the first comment we have from MD Collier on Twitter says that basically drug companies and insurance companies are going to help pay for the plan, which may deserve a little bit more explaining. So can you walk through a little bit about how the plan's going to be paid for?
Yes, well, you know, I think as the president said in his speech tonight, there's, first of all, an enormous amount of inefficiency and waste in current healthcare spending. As I think most people know, the United States spends more per capita on healthcare than almost any industrialized nation. And yet, let's face it, we have this huge number of uninsured and a lot of inefficiencies in the system. So the first place that we're going to look is the money that's already spent for healthcare, in particular in the government, in Medicare, where we've seen, you know, huge subsidies to insurance companies, huge payouts, and frankly, a great deal of fraud. Now, at the beginning of this process, the president asked the stakeholders in health reform, in health insurance reform, he asked hospitals, nurses, doctors, insurance companies, drug companies, others, to come to the White House to sit down to see if we couldn't find common ground and work together on what is one of the significant challenges facing this country. Some of it, because the other piece of this that's important to understand is that the healthcare companies will also be major beneficiaries of covering everybody with insurance. There's a moral reason to do this. From our point of view, there's a financial reason to do it, there's a deficit reason to do it, but there's also, from an insurance company point of view, a huge, large market that they will get from having people in this country in insurance plans. And because these healthcare providers in so many ways will profit from having universal health coverage, you know, it was appropriate to ask them to contribute to this effort and to actually give up and make some sacrifices themselves because, as the president says, this is shared responsibility. So the pharmaceutical companies, for instance, agreed to basically give up about $80 billion and contribute that towards the healthcare reform process. The insurance companies have actually not done that. And obviously they have, in many ways, the most to gain. They're the most threatened by some of the president's proposals. However, the big difference that we've seen between 1993, the last time when President Clinton tried this sort of huge health insurance reform process, and now, is that so many of these groups that opposed it in 1993 now support it in 2009 because things have gotten worse, because they recognize that we're on an unsustainable path. That's why we have the doctors groups, the AMA. We have the American Nurses Association, AARP, representing America's seniors. We have the American Hospital Association. We have pharma supporting health reform and health insurance reform because they realize this is one where we all have to move forward together.
Okay.
Okay.
The next question comes from Aquaculturist via Twitter, who says, how about insurance companies just raising your premium until you can't afford it after you get sick?
Well, I think that's one of the things the president addressed directly, that the insurance reform piece of this is one that he can start implementing the day after the bill is signed. Some of the things in here are going to take a while, 3-4 years to fully implement. But insurance reform is something that we can do the day after this becomes law. What the president has said is that insurance companies won't be able to ban folks because of pre-existing conditions. You won't think that your insurer gets sick and suddenly discover that your health insurance company is capping the amount they'll pay against your illness, which so many people do, or drops you from coverage right about the time you need it the most. His plan will hold health insurance companies accountable. And what you will find when you have more competition and more choice which is one of the arguments, great arguments for the exchange and the public option he discussed, is that you won't have health insurance companies that are able to jack up your rates that way when you get sick, because you, the consumer, will have more options. So there is holding insurance companies accountable as a huge part of the insurance reform that the president firmly believes we need immediately.
Great. Okay. So we had two come in that are a little different that you might be able to tackle here.
The first
comes from Lowell Magnuson, who says, who wants the government to have access to their bank accounts? And the second's from Sheila Ray DeSalvo, who says, I've heard that this reform will get rid of paid maternity leave. Is that true?
Wow, I hope not. Okay, who wants the government to have access to their bank accounts? The answer is nobody. As a matter of fact, there are federal laws protecting your privacy when it comes to your bank account. I think, Megan, that's a really good example of what the president discussed tonight in terms of rumors and things that get started that have no basis in fact. Here is what is true, which is if you've got insurance, the government's not going to get involved in your bank account. And frankly, they're not going to get involved in your insurance, except to make sure that if for some reason you got dropped by your insurance company or you lost your job, that you still could get insurance. But they're not going to get into your bank account. They're not going to get into your insurance. Nothing will change if you're happy with your insurance. And I'm sorry, what was the second question?
The second one is
Maternity leave.
Yeah.
You know, that's done company by company. Now, federal law, as became law under Bill Clinton, is that you have a right to family leave, unpaid family leave, under federal law if your employer is a certain size. Forgive me if I sound a little incoherent. I'm just trying to remember all the details to make sure I'm accurate. But in terms of paid maternity leave, that is actually set by your employer. It's not set by the federal government. I can tell you that that family leave, which is set by the government, is something that most businesses fought tooth and nail, and is something that's made a real difference to people around the country.
Okay, we got a question from Sheila Ray DeSalvo, who says, Sheila Ray was just asked the question. Mary Banach, who asks, is the plan online and where can we read it? Which I think has an easy answer, and then maybe an answer that explains a little bit more of what the process is moving forward.
Okay, well, the plan is online. I'm glad you asked that question. If you go to whitehouse.gov, Megan, I think that is the plan easy to find these days?
Yeah, it's right there on the homepage.
Okay, it's right there on the homepage. So this is my advertisement, and please let your friends know. Go to whitehouse.gov and look for the plan. And if you hear more of those rumors about paid maternity leave, or you hear that somehow this is going to hurt your bank account or government's going to be going through your private papers, I urge you, go to whitehouse.gov to get the actual facts about this, because we will put the facts up there. And you can check it out. You can find out if it's rumor or if it's real. I can assure you, if it sounds wild, it probably is wild and is rumor. As we move forward, there's a legislative process, but we will be putting more details up. We'll be updating you. We'll be letting you know what's going on as we find out more and as this process progresses. So I urge you again, go to whitehouse.gov if you want the facts, if you want more information. And if you feel like we're not giving you enough information, ping Megan.
Thanks, Anita.
Okay.
Okay, so two questions that are related. One came from Jaxie89 via Twitter that basically said, definitions, create choice and competition means driving out private health care insurance by rigging any competition in the government's favor. And a second question from Ahmad Kokar from Facebook said, I've heard many times that Obama's claims that everyone will keep their old plan if they wish is false. Can you clear that up? I think those two questions are related.
Those two questions are related. They have to do with the way that opponents of having a public option, of having competition and choice, have portrayed the public option. And the president talked about this tonight, and you know, he used a very good, straightforward American word, lie. Here is the reality, which is when we talk about creating competition and choice, the reality is that in most states, you don't have competition and choice. The president talked about Alabama, where one insurance company has 90% of the population. There are places like North Dakota, where recently the Blue Cross Blue Shield company up there, which has, which again has the vast majority of people there, was, you know, under investigation for having given out big bonuses to people who didn't deserve them, high administrative costs, and I think some nice Blue Cross Blue Shield funded trips to the Cayman Islands for some of those executives. So here's the reality. If we're going to hold insurance companies accountable, then you have to have competition. It's one of the principles of this country is when you have a monopoly, you have one company, there's no way to hold them accountable. There's no competition. There's no reason for them to lower costs. Think about all of the places. Think about the airlines and think about what happens when a low-cost airline goes into a market where there's a high-cost airline. That high-cost airline gets a lot better and the prices come down. So here's the deal. The public option would be not to drive private insurers out, but it would be to give people the option of an affordable choice that would provide some competition. And the fact of the matter is everybody's going to do better when there's more competition. You, the consumer, know that you do better when there's competition and when you have choices. And that's what this public option is about. It's not about getting rid of private insurance. As a matter of fact, the president said directly tonight, there will not be government subsidies to let them underbid, to let them provide more benefits at a lower cost because taxpayers are subsidizing this. But at the same time, it won't be a for-profit the way many insurance companies are, which means that you might be able to get a better bargain from them and it might be more affordable. But I think most of us consumers know when there's competition, when there's choice, the consumer wins.
So. Okay. Our next question came from Facebook and it says, as long as Congress has a different and much better plan than the rest of America, they have no skin in the game. Let's hope that what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Congress needs to have the same health care plan they think is good enough for all of us. And I know that has to do with a lot of misinformation we're hearing out there. Can you clear that up for everyone?
Well, I'll tell you, as a former employee of Congress and as a federal employee myself, the Federal Employees Health Benefit Plan is a great plan, okay? I get it because I'm an employee of the federal government. Macon gets it because he's an employee of the federal government. Members of Congress get it because they're employees of the federal government. But it goes back to the discussion we were having about competition and choice. Because there is a huge number of federal employees and because it's a very attractive pool for insurance companies, they want the business. They compete with each other so that as a federal employee, I get to choose between a huge number of plans. I get to pick the one that's right for me. I get to compare the cost between the plans. It's a great deal. So I would say that that kind of goes to the whole idea about creating more competition and choice in places where people don't have access to that. And I think as the president said tonight, it really is time that all Americans have what members of Congress have, and certainly what federal employees have.
Okay, we have about 8 minutes left in this chat, just to let everybody know. And this is a pretty simple.
I can talk fast.
This is a pretty simple question that I think is probably on the front of a lot of everybody's minds, which is from Facebook, and says, "How are those that cannot afford insurance going to get the insurance that they need, and who will end up paying for it?"
That is a great question. What the president said tonight, and if you go to whitehouse.gov and look at the plan, you'll see it's laid out, is that those who are in the market for insurance, you know, who enter what the president calls the exchange, which is the marketplace for insurance plans, private plans plus a public option, you'll be able to compare and contrast these plans, and at certain levels, you will get a tax credit to help you pay for it. If you are a small business and you want to cover your employees and you're at a certain size, you will be eligible for a tax credit to help pay for those employees to get their coverage through the exchange. So that is part of why the plan is expensive, is because we're going to help small businesses and we're going to help people go into this marketplace and find affordable coverage. How are we going to pay for it? Well, we chatted a little about it earlier. There are going to be several ways. One is to pay for it out of existing healthcare dollars already in the system, already being spent, but being spent inefficiently, being spent on huge subsidies to health insurance companies, kind of being spent on fraud. So the first place is to crack down on how we're spending and be better at spending your tax dollars on health care. Same amount of money, but spending it smarter. Two, the president discussed a fee to insurance companies for the gold-plated high-end insurance policies that they sell. This is a way not only of raising money to help with the cost of the program, but also to help control costs down the road. And then both the Senate, the House, we are looking at other ways to pay for this. But what the president has said is he will not sign a health reform bill that adds one dime to the deficit. He will not sign it. So we have to find those efficiencies. We have to find those savings. We have to find those fees, and then we have to come up with a system that is going to reduce costs down the road so it can be affordable for Americans and not add to the federal deficit.
Okay. This was a question from Facebook who addresses one of the specific points that the president made tonight, which is, how will the president police the plan, i.e. not insuring the illegal immigrants?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know all of the details of that. But, you know, like any plan in the United States, you need a Social Security number in order to do that, in order to register for things, you need to show documents. So I actually don't know the details of that. And I think in coming days, we'll probably be able to start posting things on whitehouse.gov with more details. So I apologize for not knowing all the details, but I can assure you that that is something that we're committed to. We have to make this affordable, but we have to do it first for American citizens.
Great. And another follow-up from Daryl Hardy asks, how would this plan affect pharmaceutical companies?
Well, the pharmaceutical industry as a whole, which the individual companies and the association that represents them, stepped forward and were some of the earliest people to say, we understand this plan is going to pass. We want to, we're willing to work with you. So there are two things. One is that the pharmaceutical companies have agreed to help fill the so-called donut hole for the Medicare prescription drug program. This is a weird anomaly in Medicare Part D, where it helps you pay for your prescriptions up to a certain level, then doesn't pay anything, and then only if you have huge prescription expenses do you start getting reimbursed again. So there's what we call a donut hole in the middle. They've agreed to help fill that donut hole, which is about $50 billion, and then additionally to put money towards the expenses. So when the earlier person asked, where are we going to get the money to help these folks buy affordable coverage if they can't afford it by themselves, part of that ends up coming from the pharmaceutical industry.
Okay.
Yeah, which it should.
And then this is our last question. I think it addresses some of the big questions out there about funding and about the different models. Are there any foreign models the president is looking at, such as the UK, Spain, Canada, France? And I guess follow-up to that is what makes this plan uniquely American?
Well, this plan is uniquely American because it takes our uniquely American system and builds on it. The president said tonight, you know, we're not going to scrap this plan, start over, build a brand new plan, that we're going to take what is a system that delivers some of the best health care in the world, if not the best health care in the world, and we're going to build on it and improve it and make it better. So that's very different from the health plan that they have in the UK or in Spain or in any other place around the world. America is a unique place, and we have a unique system. Part of that unique system has brought some of the health breakthroughs of the last century. It will bring the health breakthroughs of this century. You know, in 20, 30 years, we may be treating illnesses not with antibiotics, but with, you know, DNA. It is extraordinary what this country can do when it comes to health care. But along with that, we have these inefficiencies that have been built into the system over the years. We also have the largest number of uninsured people, the highest per capita spending of any of the industrialized nations, any of the wealthy nations. So fixing and building upon the system that we have now, which makes it really different. Some of the countries that you named, you know, have single payer health care funded by the government, National Health Service in Britain, for example, which can be very good at certain things. But that's not American, it's not our system, it's not what we're proposing, and it's not what people in this country want. So I think part of it has to do with the fact that we already have this extraordinarily effective healthcare system that can deliver great health care, best doctors in the world, probably the best research, and that we're going to build on that, as opposed to these other countries that have, by and large, government-run, single-payer healthcare systems that we don't have.
Great. Well, thank you. And just to clarify, everyone, the plan is at whitehouse.gov. On the homepage, we're actually on the homepage right now, so as soon as the stream's over, the plan will be easier to find. But you can find it right now, a little button called that says Learn More next to us, again, at whitehouse.gov. There's some great videos, two profiles of people who joined the First Lady to watch the speech tonight, who have powerful stories about the state of healthcare in this country. And we look forward to doing more of these in the future. And again, invite you to get all of your information at whitehouse.gov and answer your questions. So thanks so much for your time. Good night.
Thank you.